rational thought back to America. Rick Smith.
You listen to Congressman Boyle there, and he's right on the Russia stuff, on the Trump stuff, spot on. That's why I follow him. Why I think he's one of our better congressmen. But on the health care part, it's really a massive tax handout, as he points out. And you look at the news of, you know, you're talking about $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid programs, to social safety net programs that help, we the working people. And where's that money going? Well, you want to talk about redistribution of wealth? There it goes upward. I'm here to talk a little bit about that. And, you know, the whole, evidently Donald Trump discovered priming the pump. I've got our good friend Mateus Vernango, professor of economics at Bucknell University. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So you've got the Donald who's now saying that he invented, priming the pump while simultaneously wanting to cut $800 billion from working class programs.
Yeah, that's the sad part. I think that, you know, he probably doesn't understand the concept that he supposedly invented. So, he doesn't seem very, very keen on actually delivering on growth. As you said, he seems very, very keen on enacting policies that are redistributive. So he's going to cut taxes, not just through Medicaid, but, you know, if these plans go through, they're basically a huge bonus for the very wealthy. And then at the same time, he goes on the other end and cuts spending. As you said, you know, the cuts are even worse than what we had, you know, because of all of those agreements to restrict the size of the deficit during Obama that were done by Republicans in Congress. That they're even more stringent, and so he's going to cut basically welfare. It's the Republican notion that welfare and people on welfare deserve to be in poverty. So he's going to cut, temporary assistance for needy families and all sorts of welfare programs. And the only reason, by the way, he says that he's going to do that while maintaining a relatively, balanced budget over a period of 10 years. And that only happens because he has very unrealistic sort of growth estimate. So things don't look necessarily good. I think we're going to look at worsening of income distribution and harder sort of situation for working class people. Lots of the people that, you know, in places like Pennsylvania actually did vote for him, hoping for better jobs and so on and so forth and higher growth.
And all they're going to end up with is, massive cuts to programs that they benefited from. And I look at this and you go, when you're cutting almost $1 trillion from programs over the next decade, how do you expect the economy and those jobs and those things to help? And while simultaneously going, we're going to give that money to the wealthy who will then invest it overseas and not bring it back and pay taxes on it here. It just seems like more of the same, only worse.
It's because he's actually, his theories are not, about pumping the prime and not particularly changing. So pumping the prime would be the notion that what will drive growth will be, demand. That he has to expand demand, he has to give money in the pockets of people, and while the people don't have enough money, he would have to, the government, go out and do stuff like, infrastructure spending and whatnot. So he on one level, he has talked about stuff like that, on one level. He's never for, say, things like increasing minimum wages. And, that's the way of putting, money in the pockets of people and supporting unions and so on and so forth. But, fair enough. But he has talked about the infrastructure. But that's not in the budget. So it's not to be seen yet. So what he would suggest that, would have growth is part of the very anti-change instead of demand-driven sort of story. It's a supply side story that we do know that it's fantasy, it's voodoo economics. So he certainly didn't invent that. That's Reaganomics. So Trumponomics is basically, the same of Reagan. It's more cut, the notion is that Mnuchin and his Treasury Secretary has repeated that is the idea that cutting taxes for the very wealthy will lead to investment. This is you know, it's just if I can use his temper, that's sad. You know, it's not going to happen. We know that it's not going to happen. So there's no evidence for that, and there's no reason to believe that that will happen. The other, supposedly, I think they might say also that renegotiating trade deals might bring some manufacturing jobs and growth. And although I'm sympathetic to that idea, if they actually go ahead and do more than most economists, I should say, on that, I'm a bit skeptical about whether that will be enough to bring the jobs without significant improvement in spending and infrastructure and higher minimum wages. In my view, the important thing of rethinking trade and the trade deals that we've done is that it will strengthen, you know, trade deals always favor certain groups against others. So American corporations that could export jobs and export, say, to Mexico, corn from the Midwest and whatnot, did very well. But workers in the Rust Belt, you know, lost, and that took away bargaining power. So what trade deals may do is that they may bring back some bargaining power to the table for workers and for unions that, together with infrastructure spending, higher wages, and whatnot, may lead to a recomposition of the middle class. But all the other policies he has in place go against that. So I really don't see Trumponomics as being coherent or feasible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scattershot of, and you know, those of us who want him to succeed on certain things like infrastructure look at his plan and go, well, this is basically a ripoff of taxpayers. This is payday lending for infrastructure. It's not good.
Yeah, that's exactly it. When you scratch a little bit under the surface, you know, it's glitter. It's not real gold, and it's just a facade, you know, with the big Trump thing on front. But it's cheap and it's also incoherent, and so it's part of the, I would say, the general sort of theme of his presidency of improvisation and not planning ahead things and outbursts, but that at the end of the day are thought for the very wealthy, for, you know, the class that he was, you know, that he belongs to. That's essentially it. And I would say it's not even a class thing. It's surprising, but, you know, it's somewhat like a, you know, a third world kleptocracy. It's essentially, I mean, if I had to say what's the thing that I'm more concerned about, the problems that might lead to an impeachment, it's not really Russiagate. I would say the thing that I think they're already clearly there, it's the emoluments clauses. You know, the fact that he's getting money. You know, his business, he hasn't separated himself from his businesses, and he's getting money from foreign government and so on and so forth. And not that, you know, politically what will happen is for me an incognito. But my point is, he's benefiting himself. So this is what it's all about. It's about income distribution. His policies are all about income distribution, and what we should expect. This is an assault on workers, and so I don't see this as a necessarily a good outcome in the near future. So the economy will continue, if, you know, we're lucky, it will continue in this sort of slow path of growth.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we haven't even heard really anything about over the last couple of months, is his businesses and his business ties. And together, again, another reason why I've been calling for the tax returns. But, you know, we're all focused on Comey and on the Russians and on the leaking and all of that stuff. The money, and this is what I keep going back to, while we're focused on this stuff, the shiny stuff over here, we're being robbed blind, not just with him and his businesses, but, you know, you name the different departments and the giveaways that we're giving to big business. Taxpayers are getting screwed over hugely, to use a Trump word.
Exactly. No, I think you're right. I think that all of this stuff about Russiagate has sort of they have, to some extent, I'm not sure wisely or not, but they also had a sort of fueled this sort of discussion. He has fueled it, turning it to Twitter, and has not, and Comey and all of those things, and that has been instrumental for all sorts of other things that have been going on the economic front that are, I think, long term much worse And as I said, they hinge on this question of what kind of country we want in terms of income distribution, whether it's still possible to have, you know, whether one believes in that or not, an American dream, you know, that, you know, you can sort of go up the ladder and improve yourself, and that, you know, that society, you know, you have a shot. I don't think that's at this point, you know, clear that, you know, you do in American society, and I it's part of why he's there. But I think that he's certainly betraying that, you know, whoever voted him because he's a, you know, populist is being betrayed, will be betrayed by his president.
Yeah, and the thing is, we knew that from the beginning. So let me ask you a last question then, because, you know, back to this priming the pump. And I when he said it and he discovered it, I was wondering which pump he was talking about. You know, maybe, you know, the small hands pump he needs. But, you know, explain what priming the pump is, so that maybe folks, you know, might not know. Explain what you mean by it when we talk about priming the pump, and why we're in favor of it.
So, the notion, you know, as far as I can tell, it goes back to the 30s, and it is essentially the quintessential Keynesian idea that, you know, that you need to go and spend. You know, you have to sort of crank. I think I'm, you know, certainly not from agricultural area, so I cannot. The analogy was, you know, stated to you have to do the hard work of you know, of priming the pump to get the water, and so this what the idea was, to stimulate the economy, and so pumping the prime here could be seen as simply the big investment in infrastructure, an old New Deal sort of Keynesian idea, you know, and that's the era from when this sort of you know was sort of used regularly. You know, it doesn't seem to be something that, as you said, when you look, it's all of these private public partnerships and ways of scheming, you know, public money out to private, to his friends, when he talks about it, and so I don't see any of that coming out of his budget, and that's concerning. That's concerning.
I'm with you. Mateus, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend, Mateus Vernengo, professor of economics there at Bucknell University. You should follow him on Twitter. Outstanding stuff. Naked Keynes, Naked Keynesianism right there. We got links at thericksmithshow.com of how you can follow him. Great stuff. But again, you go back to priming the pump. Maybe we should have asked, which pump he was talking about. Just a question. Let's quick break, right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.